I thought David said, I just know I heard him say raining. But I was sure. Y'all don't hear it raining outside, do you? It's not raining, is it? Not ringing either, is it? Okay. Is it ringing? It is ringing? What's ringing? Laura Lee is the only one that says, do you hear that ringing? I don't hear any ring. You hear it ringing? Oh, okay. It was Jerry Thompson's hearing aid. Okay. Well, we solved that. I'll never forget several years ago, we were all out in the, well, there were a number of us standing in the foyer, and they were having the closing announcements and everything. And here in Wilson Gallagher, some of you remember Wilson, who wore hearing aids. And anyway, we were sitting out there in the foyer. One of the deacons said, you know, I think the sound system is acting up. And I said, why? He said, do you hear all that ringing going on? I said, no. And we were looking around trying to find it. And the closer we got to Wilson, we could hear it. I mean, it was just ringing in his ear. And we asked him, he said, Wilson, do you hear that ringing? No. Thank you for being here this morning. This morning, I want to share with you something that I think is extremely important, and it is something that I haven't really spoken on in a long, long time. But it is something that I think that every one of us needs to hear. So if you'll open your Bibles, and we're going to talk about financial wisdom that comes from the book of Proverbs. You know, there are so many things to be said about financial wisdom. Though part of the Old Covenant and throughout the Old Testament, there are numerous passages that allude to it. Proverbs shares with us some great information concerning our finances, your finances, my finances. And certainly if you were to read the book of Romans chapter 15 and you were to go back to the gospel accounts of Jesus, you would find that of those 38 parables that Jesus left for us to read and comprehend and understand. Did you know that half of them deal with a man and his money and how he spends his money? And do we use our money wisely? Now, in this lesson, I want to share with you 8 points that I have learned from the book of Proverbs about our finances. Now, the first one is, don't put your trust in material prosperity. You know, a lot of people trust their money. A lot of people wallow in their money. A lot of people are led to believe that if we just had enough money, all of our problems are conquered and all of our problems are over. And a lot of people delight in their wealth. And as a matter of fact, they flaunt it sometime. I heard about a couple who was having a discussion about what to see and do now that they had safely arrived in Florida for their honeymoon. Well, trying to assert himself, the man was, you know, right after they got married, you know, most men do that. And this man, trying to assert himself, right off the bat, made this statement. He says, you know what? If it weren't for my money, he said, we wouldn't be here at all. And the wife replied, my dear, if it weren't for your money, not only would we not be in Florida, we would not be on a honeymoon, nor would there be any we in the first place. Well, there are a lot of people who believe that if they have enough money, life can be much, much better for them. And there is that propensity on the part of all of us to trust in wealth. If we just had enough money, I've heard people say, well, if I just had enough. Let me ask you a question this morning. How much is enough? How much is enough? I've heard people say, well, if I had $1 million, that would take care of everything. Is it really enough? Proverbs 11 and verse 28 says, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Don't trust in your wealth. The Bible speaks about that numerous times in the New Testament. Paul said that we're to charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not heady, nor high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Why? Because riches may be here today, but they may be gone tomorrow. You may not always be able to hold on to your wealth. So don't trust in material prosperity. In tough times, it is easy for us to think or to believe that all of our problems can be solved with money. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will take care of our needs. Matthew 6 and verse 33. He said, if we seek first the kingdom of God, all of those things shall be added unto us. Money is merely a tool. It is. And we need to make sure that we keep it as a tool and not let it really become our God, the object of our worship. And many people do. Many people allow money to become their God. So, number one, from the book of Proverbs, I would tell you, do not trust in your material prosperity. But there's another thing, secondly. Don't let our pleasures govern our purchases. Do you know that a lot of people are not really governed by really what they need, but they're always chasing after that dollar. They're always running after what they want. And they want pleasure more than anything else. And if it brings us pleasure, we don't worry about it. But the book of Proverbs 21 and verse 17 says, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. I'm convinced that when pleasure, and it can become our God, I'm not saying this morning that it's wrong to be pleasurable in life or to enjoy the pleasures of life, if people can afford them. But many of us allow our money to go down the drain. We just blow it on a lot of different things in life. Do not let your money go down the drain. It's not wrong to enjoy pleasure, as I said. If God has blessed you with the ability to have and to spend money, it is not wrong. However, according to the Word of God, if we pursue pleasure that we cannot afford, it will not be long before we find ourselves in the poorhouse. So be careful how you spend your money. We may last for a while floating around on our credit, and a lot of people have a lot of credit today, but eventually our lack of self-control will catch up with us. For in the book of Galatians 6 and verse 7, the Bible says that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But there's another thought, number three, and that is learn to have a good work ethic. You know, there are a lot of people that do not work today. A lot of people just want the government to hand over money. You know, if the father of our country, George Washington, saw us today, I wonder what George would say. I wonder what he would really think about this country. We have almost spent ourselves into oblivion, and we are doing it even in our own homes and in our own lives individually. The Bible in the book of Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 11, gives these words. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Which having no captain, no overseer or ruler, he says, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? Will you rise from your sleep? He said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come upon you as a prowler and your need like an armed man. If the Bible, again, teaches us anything at all, it teaches that we are to be productive. It teaches us that we are to work. We are not to be a lazy folk like many in our society today. The Bible even teaches in the book of 2 Thessalonians 3 through 10. In the New Testament, if anyone will not work, neither should he eat. I am convinced that God says that we are to be working. That we are to be serving. God didn't just put us here on some gigantic pleasure trip here in this world, but He expects us to work. And all of us must be working. We need to understand that our finances come from our work. Now, I believe that we ought to rely on God, but relying on God doesn't mean that we're doing nothing or that God doesn't expect us to do anything. It means using the ability that God has given unto us to work and provide for our family. For the Bible in 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if a man does not provide for his own family, he is worse than an infidel, and he has denied the faith. So we are to be workers. We are to provide. But there's something else, and this becomes very sensitive with some folks. We are to honor the Lord with our first fruits. That is, we are to put God first above anything else. I've heard people say, well, you know, God expects me to pay my bills. That's right. God expects me to pay mine. But God expects me to put Him first before I pay my bills. God expects me to understand that had it not been for God, I wouldn't have the money to pay my bills. I wouldn't have the money to take care of anything financially. And so I am to put God first. And you know what? As we prepare our budgets, you and I individually in our own lives, the very first item we need to consider is whether or not I am putting the Lord's work first in my life. For 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 says, let a man lay by in store on the first day of the week as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Our giving should be based not upon the fact that this is something that we have to do, but our giving should be something that we want to do for God, to show our love for God, for what He has done for us. For if we read 2 Corinthians, we find here again that the Bible teaches us that God is the one who blesses us. And we must have a willing heart. We need to put God first and not give God the leftovers after everything else is gone and been and spent. But we're to put Him first in everything. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all of your increases, Proverbs 3:9. And listen to what Christ said in the book of Luke 7:38. He said, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, overflowing shall men give into your bosom. God says, hey, you can't outgive Him. When you put Him first, it is a test of faith. But I'm telling you, folks, God will reward your faith. He does. And that brings us to another proverb. Number 5, and that is, when we give, we ought to be generous in our giving. Sometimes we just tip God, and we feel like that God's going to be satisfied. But God knows who we are. He knows how much money we have. He knows where we spend our money. Sometimes it would be well for us as individuals to look at our checkbook individually and find out what I'm spending my money on, what you're spending your money on. Is God first in your finances? Is He? The Bible in the book of Proverbs 11:24-25 says that there is one that scatters, now listen to this, that it's giving, one that scatters yet increases even more. There is one who withholds more than that which is right, and it leads to his poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. There's an Old Testament passage that says to cast your bread on the water, and it will return to you many days hence, even more. But in difficult times, we think we need to hold on to as much as we possibly can in case something goes wrong. And I think you put back for a rainy day. I understand that principle. But sometimes I think maybe we don't exercise enough faith in God. We don't. When we trust God and we use our resources as God expects, God will take care of us. Haggai 2:8. But then there's another thing, number 6. And that is we need to learn to be responsible. Learn to be responsible. Don't just burn your money. You know, there are some people that go through life burning their money. I mean, blowing it. And never learning to be responsible. They think that somebody else is always responsible. Somebody else is responsible, not me. Don't blow your money. Don't burn it up. Proverbs 21:20 says, there is a desirable treasure and all in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. And he does. I've seen so many people in this world who want to go through some kind of quick rich scheme. You ever seen people like that? I mean, they're going to get rich overnight. A lot of people do that when they play the lottery and that sort of thing. One day a man went to an auction one time, and while there he bid on an exotic parrot. And he thought, boy, you know, if I could just have this parrot, then I could make a lot of money and I could get rich. Anyway, he really wanted this bird, so he got caught up in the bidding. He kept on bidding, but kept getting outbid. So he bid higher and higher and higher and just squandering his money. And finally, after he bid way more than he intended, he won the bird. The price was high, but the bird was finally his. And now he could be rich, he thought. And as he was paying for the parrot, he said to the auctioneer, he said, I sure hope that this parrot can talk. I would hate to have paid that much money for it only to find out that he can't talk. And the auctioneer said, don't worry, he can talk. He said, who do you think was bidding against you? We ought to be responsible. After we have honored the Lord with our first fruits and shared with others, they should come first. Then we buy for ourselves. But then we need to put some in the storehouse as well. How much do you save of your income? Have you ever thought about that? I'm not trying to be personal here, but I am telling you that it's important that you do that. If we eat up all of our income before the week is out, then again, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. You are. Don't squander what God has given unto you. Do you realize that a lot of people play the lottery? I know a lot of people play the lottery. I hear them talk about it all the time. They talk about going out to Vegas. They talk about going to the boats. They talk about there again getting rich. Let me tell you something, folks. Those people are not in business because they're giving money away to you. That's not what keeps them in business. What keeps them in business is our lack of knowledge and understanding about how the system works. It is a stupid thing for people to blow their money and then depend upon someone else to bail them out. Don't squander what God has given unto you. But then number 7, don't bury yourself in debt. Do you know there are a lot of people that are shackled, honestly, by debt. Do you know what the average household credit card debt is in America per household? Do you know what it is? $8,000 just on credit cards. That's the average. Some have a whole lot more. But the average credit card debt is $8,000. And I'm going to tell you something. This lesson would be one I'd like for our U.S. Congress to hear also. Do you know what? Now think about this a minute. We hear all the time about our national debt. Do you know what it would take for us to pay off the national debt? It would take every citizen of this country paying $139,000 each to pay off the national debt. We don't need to be spending money we do not have. Why should I not bury myself in debt? Well, the Bible in the book of Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says that the rich are those who rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Some people stay in debt all their lives. And they even leave their debts to their children. That's what we're doing nationally. We got a lot of congressmen and senators in Washington who are leaving that debt, that U.S. debt, to our children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren and generations that are yet to be born. No, I can't prove that debt is sinful. Jesus even talked about it. But I can tell you this. But to be buried in debt is unwise. And Paul did say that if you owe a man something, you pay it. Owe no man anything. But I can tell you that credit cards will put you in slavery. It will. It will enslave you to the point that it would be extremely hard for you to ever find your way out. We must learn to live on less than we make. And only buy what we can afford. And quit digging a hole for yourself and others. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8. Paul said, charge them that are rich again in this world, that they be not heady nor high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. But a lot of people are burying themselves in debt. Now you may be asking yourself, I wonder why he's preaching on that this morning. Let me tell you why I'm preaching on it. Because I'm going to tell you something. What I'm telling you this morning is true, not of the average person in America, but it's true of the average church member. It's true of all of us. It is true that sometimes we spend money we do not have, and we find ourselves in debt, so entrenched in debt that people cannot serve God faithfully, even with their finances. That brings us to another point, number 8, last of all. Know your finances. Know your business. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 23 through 27, the Bible says a lot. But when you stop and think about the solution to a person's indebtedness and the problem that he encounters with his finances, well, if you're going to make investments, make wise investments. Have an emergency fund. Eliminate your debts as humanly possible. Protect yourself, that is your health, and do what you can to increase your cash flow. Now, that's just simple biblical principles, folks. You know, why is it that people want to listen to Susie Orman? Why is it that people want to listen to her? Dave Ramsey? All those folks? You know why? Because most people are there. They're already there. And they're, you know, I was watching that last night, Susie Orman, and people were calling in and asking some of the craziest things. It's amazing how we spend our money, isn't it? Be diligent, the Bible says in Proverbs 27, to know the state of your flocks. It's a principle here, your wealth. And attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed, the Scripture says, and the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountain are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field, and you have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants. If we use our money wisely, and we spend it wisely, not flippantly, blowing it, spending money we don't have, you will find that you will lead a happier life. It is true. We need to know, what is the condition of your business, your job, your finances, whatever it is? And we need to keep our checkbooks balanced. Know where you spend your money, where it's going. You know, sometimes people never, ever balance their checkbook, and they keep writing hot checks, and they'll spend $20 or $30, honestly, on a hot check to go pick it up. It's ridiculous, folks, because they do not keep their books balanced. If we are consistent, then we can plan. And what God has blessed us with will take care of us even in tough times. You know what I have learned? I have learned generally, if people have a meager amount and they're able to manage that and deal with it, hey, even if they had millions, they'd do the same thing. But people that cannot manage that meager amount, even if they had millions, they'd be fighting the same problem. Money management is something that we all need to learn. Don't write checks with money you do not have. A content life does not depend upon the wealth of the world. What one can have monetarily, but it depends upon our faith in God. Luke 12, for Jesus said, a man's life does not consist of the things which he possesseth. Each of us battle with a world that wants us to buy into the philosophy that money is the answer to all the problems of life. It's not true. I hope that God will help us use what God has entrusted into our care to use it to His glory, and that each of us someday will give an account of ourselves before God, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Do you realize that someday you will die? You will. Someday you will die, and you will leave your money behind and all those precious little possessions that you have. But when you stand accountable to God for your stewardship, would you be ready? Will you be ready? Will it be your money? Or will it be the cross? Will you become a fully devoted child of God, follower of the Lord Jesus? That's the question. It's a big question. Because I'm going to tell you, the way the world thinks, it would be the money. It would be the money. And the money is not the solution. Jesus is the solution. God is the solution. And He is the one that helps us. So this morning, if you want to follow God's plan for your finances and you want to follow God in serving Him, will you pick up the cross and follow Him? Jesus said, if a man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Will you become a Christian this morning? Let me ask you a question this morning. What would be more important to you this morning? Would becoming a millionaire be more important to you than becoming a Christian? Now, if you answered the former, then you're not ready to serve God. But let me tell you another thing. You're not ready for the day of accounting either. And God will take account of His stewards. And everything that I have and everything that you have belongs to God. It's only here that we use it. And pray God that we use it wisely. For someday there will be a day of accounting. And if I'm not a Christian, that day of accounting will find me wanting, and I will be lost and condemned before God. But if you want to make your calling and your election sure and know without any reservation at all that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, would you this morning repent of your sin, confess your faith in Christ, and become a child of God by being baptized for the remission of your sin? I know this is a tough lesson. It's one that we all need, though, and it's one that we all need to discern. And it's something that we all need to think about daily. Because I'm going to tell you something. Money, and I think that's why Jesus addressed it so much, is the one thing that will probably keep more people out of heaven is their money. Their money. I hope you'll not let it keep you out of heaven. Let us stand and let us sing.